I need to qualify my sermon this morning. You should be scared when I start like that. No. The sermon this morning is about something that's just on my heart, but I've realized that I know when I was a younger Christian, I'm still young, but when I was even younger, that I could easily hear a sermon the one Sunday, and then I think that this is it, this is the only thing, and then I throw everything else I heard, I throw out, and then I just go with that. The next Sunday I hear something else, and then it's like, so, don't do that. That's immature. This should just add to what you already know and add to what already is important. Okay? So I'm saying I'm qualifying that right from the start. So the last thing I want is everybody to change or stop what you're doing, what you think God is telling you to do, and I'll just go into this direction. That would be incorrect. Okay, so don't do that. But anyway, I think it's important. I want to talk basically about the next scripture. Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking, and we also find this scripture in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That's all I'm talking about. Good news to the poor. Evangelism or the gospel. Gospel means good news. To evangelize is to bring that good news. And this first part of the scripture says, God brings that good news to the poor. Now, I'll continue with my qualification of the sermon. When Christ speaks there of poor, He definitely speaks of poor people just financially, physically poor. But He also speaks of, and you'll see it in the next scripture, of people that are poor in the spirit, poor emotionally. What else? Huh? Poor, where else? Where else can one be poor? Women are emotionally, you've got lots of emotions. Men's not so emotional. I can say that because my wife's not here. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble. But we can be poor in different areas, obviously spiritually as well. God, Jesus, does not want us to be poor in any of those areas. But I'm speaking specifically this morning about the poor just financially and what our responsibility, and when I say our, is the church's responsibility to poor people. But I want to say, and I felt that, although I'm going to talk about that poor financially, poor people, I believe also that there's some people here this morning that you are poor in other areas of your life. And Jesus said that He's come to give you good news in that area also. So you must not only hear what I'm preaching, but you must also listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Are you poor in other areas of your life? And primarily spiritually. Do you have the fullness of God in your life? Or is it emotionally? Are you going through a bad time? Because Jesus says, I want to bring you good news in that area. So, be open to hear from God today, not only about financially poor things. The second scripture, He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's where it stops. So this scripture talks about, yes, the good news to the poor, but some other things you can take out from that scripture is God wants to set people that are oppressed free. He wants to liberate them. I remember when I was in South America, but all these street names, every town you went to, it's probably like Namibia, the same. We've got a Sam Nujoma Street in every town. But there they had streets, and I can't remember the people's names. They have these Spanish names, Magallanes or something like that. I remember. But those were the liberators. They called them the liberators. So, and Sam Nujoma and our nation is also seen as the liberator. But the one that set them free, they were oppressed and set them free. They were the liberators. And Christ here says He wants oppressed people to be liberated. And I've come to do that. Okay. But where's focusing on the poor? The poor people that's around us. Financially poor. That's what I'm focusing on today. And one of who of you know that God has a lot of names, each with a different meaning. And one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. That's, you find that in Genesis 22. And it speaks of the Lord whose provision shall be seen. I like that last, but shall be seen. Because the Lord provides. But sometimes He says He provides and we don't see. But God says, my name Jehovah Jireh means the one that provides. And you'll see the provision. You'll see it. So that's God's heart. And that's what I want to talk about here today, is that God wants oppressed people to be liberated, and He wants to provide for them, and He wants that provision to be seen, to manifest in their lives. Amen. Psalm 146, verse 7, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets free the prisoners. We can become, as Christians, too spiritual and forget about what Jesus did. He did a lot of practical things on earth. He didn't teach us, He did that also, but practically He multiplied bread because people were hungry in front of Him. So He made a plan supernaturally, and He made more bread so that they can eat. He, and like this scripture says, He executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets free the prisoners. So sometimes we must just, we can become very deep and spiritual and all that stuff, but then we must say, okay, so what is all this for? And that is to be the hands and the feet of that first scripture where Jesus says, I want to give good news to the poor. I want to liberate those that are oppressed. And we are the hands that should be doing that work on earth. Amen. All right. Where am I now? I've got so many notes here, and they're very small. I don't know why I print them this small. Okay, let's look at some just background of poverty. So I guess I'm teaching this morning. Hope you follow me. The world does not have the answer to poverty. You know why? Because they think that poverty is purely an economic problem. In other words, give more money. Give more food. Now, who of you have seen the nations in Africa, if we have to mention Africa, where all the world aid, food aid, they are shipping tons of planes and I don't know what food in there. Does that country look better because of all the aid that it is getting? Aid, food, stuff. It's not better. This mic, I can't shake too much. It's not better because the world thinks that poverty is only an economic problem. It surely is part of it is an economic problem, but the root of it is a problem with sin. It has got a demonic root, if I can call it like that. It is not purely a natural thing. It is something in the spiritual that is manifesting on earth. Last week in Afrikaans service, I spoke about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. All that big fancy word means is the kingdom of God is the area under which God is in control. That's His kingdom. So a lot of nations, societies and things are under the kingdom of Satan. God cannot and does not reign there, and the fruit is evident. You can see it. You can feel it. And so the solution to poverty is not only to have more money, it is a spiritual thing that needs to be addressed. We watched long ago, we watched these movies, we should watch them every now and then. They call them transformation DVDs, that's what they call them. So one example was also again in South America, where this whole community, I don't know, it was a town or something, it was just rife with alcohol abuse and all that stuff. And not only that, nothing grew there. The people tried to grow crops and the stuff just didn't grow. It didn't rain. Nothing happened. Everything was dead. Then God did a miracle there and people started becoming saved. And God, and you know what? It's not only the people that changed. The land became fruitful. They showed us these pictures of carrots that are as big as cucumbers. You know, God not only changed the people, but He changed the land. The land became fruitful because that curse of poverty was broken. Are you here? So, Okay, I'll get to that later. We shouldn't pray that God removes our government. I'm not saying that. Because our government, if you look at the rest of Africa, is still quite cool and okay. We've got a democratic system, and even the president falls under the law. He's not free from the law. So, okay, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. So we should see that it is a problem, and on that first slide, it is a problem of kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. It's a spiritual problem, and which one reigns and rules where. And that's where we should address these things. Okay, next one. I already said it. It has a supernatural origin. It's the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. And kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms, start in people's minds. It starts with what you believe. What did I say? Yeah. Then it influences your behavior, then your actions, and then later on you get a whole society. One can't deny that certain societies and governments and nations are just, certain are better off than others. Let's not joke about, let's not ignore it. There's certain nations. Look at Rwanda or Uganda, where Kony, where's Kony the man? Was it Rwanda or Uganda?
Uganda.
Now, I've seen movies of that guy. That guy is so demonically influenced. He's guided by demons, that guy. And he acknowledges it. Did you hear about that American that made a movie on YouTube about him? Kony something. Now, the guy's not a Christian. He made this movie to expose what's going on there. And not long after that, this American guy went crazy in America. There was a story of him running around in his underpants in the street because he took on something demonic that he was not under authority to take on. Now, I'm not saying we should say here that against Kony, I can say that he's demonically influenced, but I'm under Christ and I'm protected. But can you see the powers that are at work here? That man had to, I don't know, I think he's okay now. But he took on something that had strong demonic power and influence over it. So the nation of Uganda or Rwanda, whichever one it is, looks like that because of the kingdom of Satan. Amen. And we are going to pray that our nation is not like that. Amen. Where am I? All these notes. Right, so it is a supernatural thing, but it's also a moral and ethical issue. If you look at what God did with the Israelites right in the beginning with Moses, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Then God took them out with Moses out of Egypt. And what happens, what are the books after that? It's Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, all those books with all the rules. If we want to talk about it, it's all the rules. But those were moral rules that God put in place. That he said that if you obey these things, it's not to make your life full of rules and issues and stuff. It is, these are moral laws and things. If you obey them, you'll be blessed. You will have prosperity. So, let me go again. But I know this is a controversial one, but do you know why I think a country like America is still financially so blessed, even though it grieves us a little bit? We want to be as blessed as they are. Because I believe that they started, it's just my opinion, so it can be wrong. It's not Bible, it's what I'm saying. It's because that nation was started and grounded with godly men, and they put in place these moral and ethical laws, and they said, we're going to live by that. And then that nation is blessed, even up to now. And now they're not so moral anymore, but they're living on a legacy. They're still reaping the benefits from a previous legacy that said, we're going to do things God's way. And it has the fruit. So, moral laws can be broken. And if we obey God's ways and God's laws, then a nation should be and can be prosperous. Okay, I need to move on. Just two examples which I really like to. I use my Bible school notes. So you guys must, if you want to hear more of this stuff, go to Bible school. What did Martin Luther do? What What did he do? What made him famous? Martin Luther. Who can remember? Huh? Reformation. So what did he do? Can you, okay. Yeah. He nailed, he had a terrible internal conflict battle, and then in the end he nailed something to, I don't know which church's wall, door, and I think, I mean there was a couple of things, but it started off with saying that justification by faith alone. So you will get your salvation in Christ, but it is through faith alone. And you know what, when he did that, and this I didn't realize until I read this notes, is that what happened in Germany at that time is that the Roman Catholic Church, Italy, next to them, up south of them somewhere, that Roman Catholic method of paying to confess your sins, that's what happened. That moved over into Germany, and you had to pay for your sins. People were exploited in church financially because they could not be forgiven of their sins unless they paid. So I don't think this was primarily the reason why Martin Luther nailed that on church. But when he did, he actually challenged the whole system. Not only that, yes, you'll be saved through faith and faith alone, but he challenged the system and said, this financial exploitation of the people is wrong. That's what he said. That's what he said to the authorities at that time, the church. He said, stop exploiting the people. And Paul did the same when he said that Christ is Lord. Do you know what? The Jews hated him because the Jews started with the same thing in church. You had to bring sacrifices. And that's why Jesus called church a den of thieves or something like that, he said. Because there was so much business going on, paying sacrifices, stuff. So when Paul said Christ is Lord, he also challenged the whole system again, and he said, this is demonic. This is exploitation. So he did, when he said that, he challenged the whole Jewish thing, but he also challenged, because the Israelites were then under Roman rule, and the Romans were dominating, they were controlling everything, and he said, no, not their kingdom, but Christ's kingdom. So I don't know if you see where I'm going here, but if we want to address poverty, that's what we should address. The demonic, the sin behind it, the origin of it. And what's also not the way to do it, and you see it in Africa every now and then. How many times have you seen, hasn't it happened now again? Where was it? I can't remember. But where the one government is overthrown by something else, a coup, a military coup. Is that nation any better after those things? No. None of it's ever better. Never. It's always worse. Because what Christ is saying is not church, rebel now and get rid of your government. He says, preach that government must be subject to his kingdom. That's when freedom comes to a nation, when the leaders of that nation says, yes, we've got the authority from God, and we are subject to his kingdom. That's when the kingdom of God reigns in a nation. So we're not here to like say, our president's this or that, and he must get out of here. That's terrible, that's bad. We are here to tell them, and we can. You must submit under God's kingdom. Amen. Romans 14, verse 11. It's not verse 117, there is no such verse. It's a mistake. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So if we, that is the origin of sin. That's all background to poverty. Now I just want to go quickly because time is running out. Poverty is not only material needs that people lack. Poverty brings also a dependency on, people are so dependent on, they are deprived from any options in life. I've just been exposed to it a little bit, and people that are living in poverty are completely dependent on somebody else that must help them. They don't have any liberty if you're like really poor. Are you with me? They can't make any decisions. They have got no alternatives. They live in a cycle of poverty that they can't get out of. There's no freedom for them in that. They've got no alternatives. They're exploited. I thought about it. But no, I mean, anyway. They're exploited so easily. I think our nation's quite okay. We've got labor laws and you can't pay a person less than that. But I've even seen that in these laws that we have, people are still paid like a third of what they should get paid. But the poor cannot defend themselves. They've got no power and they're being exploited constantly. And then they fall into a cycle of poverty. How many times have you seen that somebody's poor? What are the chances, if we're just honest with ourselves, that that child that comes out of that house is going to break out of that cycle? What are the chances? It's slim. It's very little. It's a terrible system that just drags them down. That's the bad news. And I'll stop at the bad news now. Therefore, the responsibility, there's also, I think it's in Matthew, it's not in my scriptures now, but that God says he will divide the nations into sheep nations and goat nations. Goats don't listen. As far as I know, this is what goats do. They don't listen. You don't see goats being herded by a shepherd. They're like all over the show. Sheep are the ones that listen and obey. They've got a shepherd. And then God defines late in that scripture, later on in Matthew, what are goat nations and what are sheep nations. He says the goat nations, the ones that do not obey me, are the ones that do not look after the poor, that do not give the ones that, when I asked you to give me a cup of water, you didn't give me a cup of water. And when I asked you to give, you didn't give. That's how God separates it. And I'm one day going to preach about that also. But our nation, this is just still my opinion maybe, but nations will be judged on how they treat the marginalized in their society. That's how they will be judged. Not by how big their churches are. How did you treat the marginalized in your nation? That's how you'll be treated. That's where, unfortunately, our president will have to one day stand and say, what did he do? And then he must answer, because I'm not the president. Okay, Isaiah 10 verse 1 to 2. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune which you have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. So let's look at what does God say to us as a church. These are just some scriptures. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the poor and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. No, that's right. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the poor and needy. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Proverbs 14:31. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. So, the Bible is full of Christ talking to his church and saying, amen, be my hands and feet. I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Be my hand and feet. Don't shut your ear to these people. Don't shut your ear and your heart and your mind and your pocket and your wallet and your whatever. Don't shut it to these people. And if we look at Acts, right in the beginning of Acts, Acts verse 6, Paul, and it's important to say this, Paul realizes that, hey, we need to do something about the poor, yeah? But what's important to note, Paul says, I can't do this. I can't look after the poor. This is not Paul. I must get the word of God. I must give direction to the church. I must bring that word to the people. I must go and plant the churches. But I'm not saying we shouldn't do anything about it. I'm saying we should do something about it. But let's pray and let the Holy Spirit direct us and tell us who the people are, who should look after this ministry. So it's, and that's important to know, because sometimes we in church are like, what are the church doing with my finances that I give? I'm tithing. What are they doing? I don't see the poor people being helped, etc., etc. And then we look to Yaku. What are you doing, Yaku? It's not his job. His job is to hear from God, to bring that word to us, to give us direction and vision. But we should still do it, and there should be a fleel, a wing of our church that does look to that, that does look into those things. And that's our, and then in Acts it happens that they set people apart, and Prochorus was one of them. That's how Shofar Stellenbosch, at least, has a Prochorus ministry that looks after those things specifically. So we should have something similar or grow towards that. And the reason I'm preaching this morning is because I see an anointing. No, I actually see fruit. I don't see an anointing. I just see fruit of we are moving into the DRC and Mondesa and Tamariskia. We've got small groups there now, and I'm just seeing fruit. So I'm preaching not for everybody to go there, but I believe God wants us to grow in that area. Where was I? And then when they said, okay, now we're going to cater for the poor, look what God did to the church, and we can expect this, Acts 6 verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So I, from what I see from that scripture is God will add to our numbers. God will bless a church that is compassionate to the poor. He will add to our numbers. Amen? Where am I now? Galatians 2 verse 10. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. This is again Paul speaking. So his heart was always to help the poor and not for them to be neglected. And again, not everybody here in this room, everybody of us is called to help somewhere. Not everybody of us is called to be directly involved with a ministry like this. So that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I want. And when I spoke to Jakob before when I prepared for this message, and he said also, yes, that's great. Do it. Preach it. Because he wants to come and preach to us again about God, and this is what we're sensing, is God wants us to open our hearts so that he can come and do the work in us, so that people can be drawn into our congregation. Where I'm just sensing that God is going to draw with things like the women's conference and the men's camp that we're going to have, and what else? Well, all these things that God is going to draw in people, and he's going to give us anointing and a grace to multiply. So this message is, prepare your heart for wherever it is. This is just one area, but prepare your heart so that it can be open, so that God can use you as hand and feet wherever it is. I mean, in Luke 10, Jesus, who of you know the parable of the Good Samaritan? You know, when I was little and I had to learn all these little Bible stories, this was the one thing I remembered, the Good Samaritan, where a man helps somebody that was in need of help. And at the end that Jesus says, go and do likewise. So he speaks to us and he says, go and do likewise. Be that person that when somebody is in trouble, you are there to help. What does that mean for us? I just wanted practical three things that I want to highlight. What does that mean to us? I must be a good Samaritan. Wonder what will happen if I mess water on this mic. I will get shock. Pastor electrocuted by mic. We must listen to the dictates of the Holy Spirit and we must follow them. I'm not here this morning to tell you, do it this and this and this and this. We get into contact whenever, when we walk out of here, we get into contact with people that are poor. Poor in whichever area of their lives, not only financially. And it is for us to, when the Holy speaks and prompts us in that area, to be obedient. Those of you who missed Wednesday night, please get the DVDs that we listened to, the Holy Spirit. Yaku showed us DVDs on the Holy Spirit from John Bevere. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. My life changed since Wednesday again. Praise God. And that's how I know my God. He changes me every now and then. He changes me again. Just when I think, Theo, you're okay. You've done it. You made it. No. Then he comes and says, no, you're not all right. But I'll change you again. Fantastic. I want to stop there a little bit. You know what? One of the meanings for the Holy Spirit is our helper. But it's the one that walks beside us, next to us, and helps us in life. And then he also, this is now a different topic, but he explains that he doesn't say, and Scripture doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is a female, but definitely has some female characteristics, because the word says you can only grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve the Father or Jesus. Scripture only talks about we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now he explains it like this. Now those of you who are married, you'll understand. Every now and then when I do something wrong or speak harshly to my daughter or to my wife or whatever, then it grieves my wife. Now what I always thought is, because then I can sense, I feel it. I mean, there's no words, but I feel something, that something's wrong here. You just feel that emotional disconnect between me and my wife. And I want to fix it now. So I say, come on, wife, get over it now. What's wrong? I'm sorry. And after 5 years, I'm starting to get it. It does not get fixed right there and then. You know why? Because the woman needs some space. She was grieved. And you must just deal with it. You must either be a better husband or just deal with it and chill. Now the Holy Spirit is the same. And he used this example. Is you'll watch a movie. The Holy Spirit's with you. Listen, this. I hope this is not too spooky. But it's a bad movie with a bad scene in or something. You know what the Holy Spirit won't grab you, pick you up out of the room and put you outside. You know what he does? He leaves. And you're still there. He does not knock on your door and say, hey, I can't watch this. He just goes. And then you're without him. Then he's not your helper that's next to you anymore. It's fantastic stuff. Amen. So I'm just sensitive more and more. Praise God, but I don't want to brag about this because then I'm going to get tested and fall again. But I just want him next to me. Because he helps me in everything. And I just, I'll preach about this later. I think, just let me throw this out there. How do you measure if somebody is spiritual and very close to God? Do you measure it by the fruits of the Holy Spirit or by the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Not the gifts, the fruit. Because a gift God gives, he gives it to you whether you use it properly or not. He gives it. Fruit gets cultivated. Fruit doesn't come automatically. It needs nurturing, water. You measure people by fruit. We have so many charismatic people that have got no fruit. They need to get saved right all over again and ask them, how close is the Holy Spirit to you? When was the last time you heard him? How long ago did he leave? And not like I'm the Holy One here and saying, he's next to me all the time. I make the same mistakes. Don't judge me by my gifts. Judge me by the fruits. Anyway, where are we? We should follow the Holy Spirit, the dictates of the Holy Spirit. And I had quite a battle this week on whether I should preach this or talk about the Holy Spirit. But I think I'm doing the right thing, and I'll talk about the Holy Spirit later. So I just need to work through this a bit. We must expose ourselves to the poor. You know what that means. That means every now and then when the Holy Spirit pulls you into the direction and say, go and check that out, go a little bit there. Don't just sit there in your nice cozy house. You know, expose ourselves. That's why it's so amazing. Every time we go on a mission trip, and we normally go to quite a poor area, the people that are most blessed coming from a mission trip are not the people that we minister to. Maybe they're also as blessed, but the people that did and went on the mission and saw the stuff, saw the people with the pain and the hurt, that were exposed to it, they're more blessed. We, when we go on missions, we're blessed. When we think we go there to bless people, yes, we do, but we actually come back different people because we've exposed ourselves to the poor. Poor in spirit, physically, and emotionally. I mean, let me go on and finish. Galatians 6 verse 10, therefore As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I just want to stop there again. You know what? It's very easy. If my neighbor's kids don't have food and I don't have food, who am I going to feed first? My daughter or their daughter? Come on, my daughter first. Now, scripture here, this says that it's fine and okay, we must reach the whole nation, but we must start with this. And we can't, yes, you make up your mind what that means. You can hear the Holy Spirit. But that means we help the people that are sitting here that we know that have issues, that lack stuff. Amen? What was it now? Okay. We're almost finished. And you know, that when I say that, I'm normally not close to being finished. But I'm really close to being finished now. James 2, verse 14 to 17. What good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, and I think this is where you must focus. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Be warm and filled without giving them the things needed for the body. What good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Okay. Please don't cry now. I don't only have bad news. But my topic of my sermon was, what was it? Help me worship and help them worship. And what I've realized lately, maybe I've realized it before, but I just understood it a little bit more now, is that this scripture, there are certain basic things that people need. Just clothing and food and so on. And the Bible says we must give it to them, but I want to go up a little bit further. You know that some people that are poor, that don't have those things, they are so overwhelmed by stress and anxiety and everything. They might even come to our church, but 95% of the time they're just thinking about, I must go home, hopefully somebody gives me some food that I can live, my child, what am I going to do with her? You know, stuff like that. They're overwhelmed by that anxiety and stuff. And scripture says, don't send those people home and try and be spiritual. Give them what they need so that they can at least have some, like 50 or 60% of that anxiety can be taken from their shoulders so that they can praise me. So what I'm saying this morning is, let's help some people. Just, what's my topic? Forgot again. Yeah, to praise him. Let's just help people. You know, people that are so down and in that hole, they need so very little just to pull them up a little bit so they can see some light and then they can praise Jesus. But that little bit that needs to be done is us. And Jesus said, don't be too spiritual. Okay, I don't want to condemn everybody that's here. We're a fantastic church. We're doing it. But let's grow in this. Let's help some people to worship. Let's help some people just out of the dire straits that they are in so that they can see some light. You know, if we show them that little bit of light, because we know that poverty is a spiritual thing. If they just see a little bit of light, we can pray to, we can lay our hands on them, we can get them to break that curse that's over their lives. And it's not only over people's lives. It is because of our society and stuff. So I'm not saying all people that are poor just need to repent and they're going to have everything they want. It is also we're under a bit of an oppressive system that doesn't help everybody that's poor. Okay? So the next scripture there. Let's help them with basic need, food and clothing, shelter and belonging. They just don't. Those people don't feel they belong anywhere. They must be happy to come here to this church where there's so many white people. Like, if that offends us, great. They must be happy here. They must come. They must feel welcome. If there's at least one place they can feel welcome, yes, in Jesus' name, you belong here somewhere. You're a child of God. Okay. But now, doing this doesn't only help them to worship, it helps me to worship. James 1:27, external religious worship, religion that as it is expressed in outward acts, that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God the Father, is this: to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and need, and to keep oneself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world. Doing that also helps me worship, because the Bible says that pure and undefiled worship before God is looking after the widows and orphans. So by growing in this area as a church, we're going to help people to worship God, and we're going to help ourselves to worship Him. Let me give you, not an example, but if you get exposed to poverty and how bad some people's lives are, you know what? You come back home and you're like, praise the Lord for what I have. Amazing, Lord, I bless you. Thank you. Let me go pray. Put off the TV. I need to pray now. Thanks, Jesus. I help myself to worship. And I've helped somebody else to worship. Amen. I mean, let's stand. I'll just read the last scripture, Proverbs 19, verse 4 and 7. We can close off. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. There are so many people that feel abandoned, that don't have a place of belonging. And yes, they might be, as I say this morning, because they are poor, just in the physical. But like I said, in the beginning of this service, and I want us to concentrate on that now, I want you to open your heart, the Holy Spirit can speak to you. Although this sermon was mostly about physically poor people, it's also about being poor in any other area of your life. And Christ, Jesus said, I came to earth and I was anointed just to lift that oppression from people's lives. So I want us to just close our eyes. And if you're here this morning, I'm just going to share a few examples. And you feel spiritually far from God. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you don't even know what it means to be a Christian. But you just sense that you're poor. In spirit, you are poor. You don't have that closeness, that intimacy with God. You know, you don't have that. Maybe you're emotionally poor. Maybe you've gone through a terrible time and emotionally you're just completely drained. Or maybe you are physically poor. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands. So you're not going to expose yourself and show who you are and what you're struggling with. But I want to pray for you. Just that this lie and that the kingdom of God will come and reign in your life, and the kingdom of Satan will die. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, and you just agree with me and however you want. If you feel poor in any area of your life, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that has come to liberate us. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that is next to us, that comforts us. Father, thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit that we can have communion with you, Lord. We repent of the times that we grieve your Holy Spirit, Father, and make us sensitive to his voice again. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit and for what he does in our lives. Lord, we pray that you will come and liberate people here this morning. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ over people here, Lord, that are physically poor. Lord, I come in Jesus' name and I break that curse over their lives, that cycle of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. And as they just grab hold of the promise that is of sonship that you promise in your word, Lord, that you've given us a spirit of adoption by which we cried, Abba, Father. You've not given us a spirit of fear. As they grab onto that, Lord, you will change circumstances. Father, I pray that you will give people a sense of belonging in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for people that spiritually are so far from you, and your Holy Spirit is touching them and speaking to them. Father, I pray that there are some people here that you have a religious view about church. Church to you has been this institution, but it's been always dead to you. Maybe you come from that background, And you can't figure out the two things here this morning, because what you've heard about church and what you've experienced about church and God and what you're seeing and tasting here this morning, it's different and it's confusing you. I want to pray for you because God is trying to show you that He's alive and that He wants a relationship with you. The Almighty God that has come to die for you wants a relationship with you. So I know there's people that are struggling here with that this morning. You're confused about what's going on. But I just want to tell you that open your heart and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. Father, I pray for those people that curse will also be broken over their lives. Maybe it's a transgenerational curse, Lord. But this thing, I want to just speak to death in the name of Jesus Christ. It must stop you, Lord God. And maybe some people, you will even leave here this morning. You'll have struggles and you'll struggle about this thing, with this thing. But it's a good thing. It's because God wants to come and break through those barriers that are in your mind and that are in your heart. So I just pray, Lord, for that struggle and that wrestling with the Spirit of God to continue, Lord. And for not to leave people, Lord God. For it to struggle with them until they've come to the place where they can bow the knee to Christ. I speak that and I prophesy that over some people's lives here in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just ask, if you are here this morning, we're finished basically, but keep your eyes closed. If you are here and you want us to pray for you that you accept Jesus Christ, you want to start a relationship with Jesus, then I don't want you to leave as all the other people leave. I'm going to hang around here in front for a while, but then just come to me or someone and say, I want to give my life to Christ. Or if you have any other need that we should pray for, God wants to bless you. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, bless us as a church to be your hands and your feet. Bless us to hear your voice so that we move in the right direction. Father, thank you for the blessing and the harvest that is coming, that you're promising us as a church. Father, we just humbly want to say thank you and prepare us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone.